With hardening resolve, he turned and began taking in his surroundings, trying to get his bearings. Which way out of the gardens? They were standing beneath the trees at the edge of a wide-open plaza where several paths intersected. In the distance to their left, Langdon spied an elliptical-shaped lagoon with a small island adorned with lemon trees and statuary. The Isolotto, he thought, recognizing the famous sculpture of Perseus on a half-submerged horse bounding through the water. The Pitti Palace is that way, Langdon said, pointing east, away from the Isolotto, toward the garden's main thoroughfare, the Viottolone, which ran east-west along the entire length of the grounds. The Viottolone was as wide as a two-lane road and lined by a row of slender 400-year-old cypress trees.
There's no cover,
Sienna said, eyeing the uncamouflaged avenue and motioning up at the circling drone. You're right, Langdon said with a lopsided grin, which is why we're taking the tunnel beside it. He pointed again, this time to a dense hedgerow adjacent to the mouth of the Viottolone. The wall of dense greenery had a small arched opening cut into it. Beyond the opening, a slender footpath stretched out into the distance. A tunnel running parallel with the Viottolone. It was enclosed on either side by a phalanx of pruned holm oaks, which had been carefully trained since the 1600s to arch inward over the path, intertwining overhead and providing an awning of foliage. The pathway's name, La Cerchiata, literally circular or hooped, derived from its canopy of curved trees, resembling barrel stays or cerchi. Sienna hurried over to the opening and peered into the shaded channel. Immediately she turned back to him with a smile.
Better.
Wasting no time, she slipped through the opening and hurried off among the trees. Langdon had always considered La Cerchiata one of Florence's most peaceful spots. Today, however, as he watched Sienna disappear down the darkened allée, he thought again of the Grecian freedivers swimming into coral tunnels and praying they'd reach an exit. Langdon quickly said his own little prayer and hurried after her. A half mile behind them, outside the Art Institute, Agent Bruder strode through a bustle of police and students, his icy gaze parting the crowds before him. He made his way to the makeshift command post that his surveillance specialist had set up on the hood of his black van. From the aerial drone, the specialist said, handing Bruder a tablet screen, taken a few minutes ago. Bruder examined the video stills, pausing on a blurry enlargement of two faces, a dark-haired man and a blonde, ponytailed woman, both huddled in the shadows and peering skyward through a canopy of trees. Robert Langdon, Sienna Brooks. Zero doubt. Bruder turned his attention to the map of the bubbly gardens, which was spread out on the hood. They made a poor choice, he thought, eyeing the garden layout. While it was sprawling and intricate, with plenty of hiding places, the gardens also appeared to be surrounded on all sides by high walls. The bubbly gardens were the closest thing to a natural kill box that Bruder had ever seen in the field. They'll never get out. Local authorities are sealing all exits, the agent said, and commencing a sweep.
Keep me informed, Bruder said.
Slowly, he raised his eyes to the van's thick polycarbonate window, beyond which he could see the silver-haired woman seated in the back of the vehicle. The drugs they had given her had definitely dulled her senses, more than Bruder had imagined. Nonetheless, he could tell by the fearful look in her eyes that she still had a firm grasp on precisely what was going on.
She does not look happy, Bruder thought. Then again, why would she?